Obviously, you didn't hear me before, but God, I would have liked to know what I just did. At any rate, let's look at, that's why I don't care. That's why I don't like computers, obviously. They do what they want to with us. Let's look in Hebrews, the 4th chapter today. You know, I really like the song that Ella Smith started out this morning, Psalms 103. It's very encouraging. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. And it's really a very, if I start looking like I'm fading out and you can't hear me, make sure and let me know, okay? It's very, a scripture that's very encouraging, and it's always relevant, and it's always working. First of all, I'd like to give honor to God and glorify his name, because he blessed us, and we got our new unit installed this week. So we have heat again and air conditioning again, you know, in the fullest. We had about 33% heat before, because the unit that broke was the stronger of the two units and, on the right side. But anyway, by the grace of God, by the power of God, we were able to get a new unit installed. And the Lord just kind of, like I said, you know, seems like we were, I'm looking for a day when promise will come to the point where we're not in sort of a famine and still being fed by ravens. I appreciate being fed by ravens.
Yes.
But I look for a day when we come out and there's plenty in the land.
Amen.
And everyone should want a time where that we should glorify God for sustaining us at all, because even in Psalm 103 it talks about his mercy and his grace that endure.
Yes.
And we live in his mercy and his grace, but then again, I'm also mindful of the scripture that says, which is equally true, that he'll open the windows of heaven and pour us out blessings we have not been able to receive.
Yes.
And I, for one, am still looking for the Lord to open up windows and pour us out blessings that we don't have room enough to receive. I really believe that. And someone would say, well, he's already done that for you. No. The Lord has blessed me, but he hasn't blessed me to the point that it's, that what he gives me, I don't need. There are, you know, and when I say that, quickly I say to myself, well, you can't sit there because you have some things you don't have to have. You don't have to have a 75-inch TV or whatever. That is true. But the main thing, not the biggest blessing I want for the Lord really is for the house of God and for things to be of God. And from the time that we have had this church, other than the first couple of years, seems like we have really just had to really lumber along and do things. That's the reason why we owe Church Living God money, because if it had been my brothers, I wouldn't have borrowed money from anybody.
Yeah.
I'm not a borrow money person, and I guess God is working things out me in that, and I'll be so glad we have money to pay them back and pay that off. That's something that weighs heavy on me. I don't like owing people money. I feel like the Bible says, owe no man anything but to love one another, and really, when he says that, to be honest, the Bible is not referring to money. It's really referring to don't have vengeance or wrath in your heart. In other words, don't have the mindset that, okay, I owe you because you've done something to me, I'll do something back.
Yeah.
And when it says, owe man nothing, no, not anything but to love one another, it's not referring to money in that particular case. He's talking about don't be vengeful.
Yeah.
Don't seek revenge. Don't make up your mind that, hey, you know, I'm sooner or later.
YouTube.
But in that vein, I'm one person who, and there are many of us like that, but I don't like owing money. I'm so glad when I paid my house off. And we're looking, Paul needs a new car, and because mechanical things wear out, I'll be so glad when we get with God and start having things that last forever. Cars won't be a necessity because we'll be able to move like God moves, as glorified beings move. But in the interim, we're working it now and seeing how we can probably get her a car and not be paying for it for the rest of our life. See, the rest of my life at this point is probably 25 years at best.
Yes.
So I don't have time to stretch buildings out. Matter of fact, if you've ever considered it, at this point in time, no bank would give me a 30-year loan.
No.
no one's going to give me a 30-year loan at this point. The most I can hope that a bank would probably give me if I bought a house would probably be a 15-year balloon.
Yes.
That's about the best mortgages they would give me and figure I'd be able to pay it off in my lifetime. But I don't like owing, so I'd love to do that. And I look for a day, you know, of course the day will come when Jesus comes, when we don't owe anybody anything, when we're done with all the anchors and weights that are tied to this life. You know, some of them are personal, those we're supposed to lay aside, but some weights you have just because you live on earth.
Yeah.
Health and those kind of things, just because we live on earth and because of sin in the garden, we're not going to get away from having those things because until Jesus comes. And they're not our fault, our doing.
Yeah.
We're just born after Adam. So thank God for his mercy. And we were working out trying to get this unit last week, which is no small amount of money. And certainly didn't want to go back and borrow more money. You know, you owe people money, you don't want to borrow more money from them. Didn't want to do that. Want to get rid of that. But the Lord did make a way. New Covenant kind of helped us out. They heard about our plight. They had a few dollars. And they sent them to us. And I certainly appreciate that. And then I had a birthday, which is unavoidable unless you go to heaven. And some of the people blessed me in that one, and that gave me more money. And when I got more money, I could give the church more money. And that's the way that works.
Yes.
When I get more money, I can give the church more money, and I don't have a problem.
Yes.
None. As the Lord blesses me, I'm not one of these people who brings you a receipt because I bought toilet paper. It just doesn't work like that with me. I would give more. If God would bless me, you know, some people would think, I wish God would give me $1 million. I pay the tithes. If God would give me $1 million, I would think, since I don't need $1 million to finish out my life, I'm not going to make $1 million between now and the time I die.
Right.
If God would put $1 million in my hands, I would know that more than, he expects more than 10% to be put into the house of God. You know, at least 20%, if not 25 to 30%. But I know one thing, I sure would pay this building off and this land off and all the things we have, and I wouldn't give it a second thought.
Lord, that's right.
And I wouldn't get up every other week and remind people, you know, I paid this building off, you know, I put this money here. My God, if I was to stand here and talk about all the money other than tithes and offerings that I've put in the house of God and in the church since I've been saved, we'd be here a couple of months and weeks and whatever, because ever since I've been in God, I have put money and without getting up every time I got up and telling the people, you know, I gave that out of my heart. Yeah. If you gave it out of your heart, what are you talking about?
That's right. Yep.
Why do we need to know if it's something you gave to God? Why is it important that we know?
No, that's right.
You know, if you're going to get credit for this from God, what do you want from me?
Me, that's right.
You know, but you know, you're not as free of money as you say you are, because every time you give something, you give it, but you make sure we know about it.
That's right.
But anyway, saying that, God just blesses us, and so we finally got this unit in, and I wasn't worried. I wasn't worried about it. Concerned, but not worried. Say you weren't worried? No, because I know that the church was going to have this unit. It's the grace of God, and I thank God for it, but I knew we were going to get the unit replaced if I had to just pay for it myself. Because God has blessed me to the point where I could have just paid for it myself. So why didn't you then? Because the money is there for various other things, but I would have given the church priority. It would have been done. We wouldn't sit down here freezing.
That's right.
And I'm not freezing in my own house. It'd be a no-brainer for me. It'd be an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
And I'd be happy that the church was more than satisfied. But God made a way anyway. And we were able to get it in, and so it's established. And then we'll make the final payment on it, because we had to pay half down, half when it gets in. And we'll do that next week. And we're waiting and scraping. But we'll be there. The Lord will bless us. But if you have a dollar you'd like to send us to that effort, you know, please do. We won't turn down any money, because God will bless you for it.
Yes, he will.
And every one of us should be looking for him to open the windows and pour us out. But every one of us, we should not. You know, if we pay our tithes and our offering, as the Bible says, we should not have a problem. There's no reason why we can't expect him to open the windows of heaven and pour us out blessings we have enough room enough to receive. Now, if we cut corners and skate around and do little things in the interim, whatever, it's a little bit different. Then if you're not true, the word of God is true, but it applies when people are obeying God in the way they're supposed to. The blessings of God, the mercy of God is such that God blesses us and he's merciful to us, even though in many things we are less than obedient, or we are less than, we don't all, in other words, we don't always come up to standards. And for that, we receive mercy and grace.
Yes.
But when you're talking about the abundance that comes from God and the outpouring of God, that abundance comes, you know, he that soweth abundantly receiveth abundantly, as he says. And so when it comes to us, to God sustaining us, when it comes to his mercy and his grace and sustaining us, God does that. We come up short every day.
Yeah.
We come up short every day. We sure do.
Yeah.
We aren't like Jesus. Many thoughts go through our heads, and many things go along in our lives, and many decisions we make where God is not first in our life. Many priorities we say, because God is an understanding and merciful God, we push him to the back corner. Much time. It's like the marriage. I saw yesterday Ella Callick sent out a thing saying that they had a marriage seminar for the men. I didn't catch the seminar because I didn't know about it. I don't know who gave it. But I know a lot about marriage, and I know a lot about marriage, but the main thing I know about marriage is not so much only from personal experience, having been married for almost 45 years, but that's, you can be married for a very long time and still not know a lot about marriage.
Right.
I know that because I know some people have been married for a very long time and still they don't know a lot about marriage,
mm-hmm.
Not as much as they think they do. But the main thing about marriage I know is how it mirrors the relationship that God has with people. It's a marriage. That's why he says two will be one. The thing I know about fatherhood and motherhood and children is, I know a lot about that because my oldest child is 50, but the main thing that I know about it is not so much about how to rear kids, because I've made many mistakes in doing that. Still will probably make a few.
Right.
But the main one thing I do understand is I understand how it mirrors the relationship that we have with God.
Right.
And once you can see that correlation between how your children and you as a parent, or you as a child and your parents, when you understand the correlation between that and your relationship with God, or in a marriage, when you understand how the husband and wife's relationship is one of compromise and reconciliation and whatever, and how it mirrors God, then you can make a marriage work.
Yeah.
But if you're just going to come up with a whole lot of things about a marriage where you're going to say, well, you need to put powder on the sheets, give me a break. That's just something you like. I don't like
that. Yes.
That's an innovation. It works between, you know, that's something y'all figured out.
Yes.
And it fits in there, but not like you think. So when it comes down to when it comes down to God and what he says he will do, every word of God is true. So when he says he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you have not room enough to receive. And someone might say, well, and what about the sinners and what all that? We're not talking about them. They have their reward. We're talking about people who we want God to bless in earth and when they leave earth.
Yes.
He talks about them. They have what's called, don't ever let the devil bring up sinners when you're talking about what God will do. Because he likes to throw them in your face like he did to David in the 73rd chapter of Psalms and say, the sinners are doing fine, they're healthy. Look at old evil, whatever his name was, and he's overweight, obese, and you know, he's just thumping around, and you know, wasn't going to use the word, but anyway, and he's just doing fine. Hey, the devil would like for you to look at him, and he'd like for you to look at him and say, and he doesn't even serve God. That's why the devil lets him have success. Because he wants to throw that in God's face and say, hey, you know, people can have success without you. Any success you have without God will at some point end.
Mm.
If it doesn't end in this life, it will end when you die.
Yes.
And I'm not worried about it. And I don't have to say to you when you die, when you're caught up, because you're not going to be caught up. It will end when you die.
Yes.
So don't even, when you're talking about obeying God and serving God and the blessings that come from God, don't let the devil bring sinners up. Because he likes to remind you he likes to say to you, but there are no saved people who are billionaires, and he'd be telling the truth.
Right.
In that regard.
Yes.
And they're billionaires because that keeps them far from God.
Right.
And he'll say there are not many sinners who are millionaires, and I mean there are not many saved people who are millionaires. And he's probably true. That's probably true. So is there such a thing as a billionaire who's safe? I got to think at least some billionaires somewhere have the Holy Ghost. But there's probably remarkably few of them, because Jesus said that for rich people to be saved, it was very, very difficult. And why is that? Because they have so much self-reliance.
Yes.
And so that those of us who don't have self-reliance, we are able to see the mercy and grace of God. It's a shame that we have to be that way in order to stay godly, but it's worth it. It is worth it in the end. So then when we look at giving, is what I was talking about this morning, and how the Lord blesses us, I'm expecting the Lord at some point, and I'm not going to stop expecting him, and I'm not going to stop searching until I figure out what I need to do in order for him to open the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing that I have not room to receive. So that I would be able to not only bless my house, I'm not looking for it. But, you know, as you get older, new cars don't mean as much to you as they used to. The only reason why you get new cars is because the one you have is falling apart. You know, you just don't trade them. And when I see people now who are older than me come up and ask me how you like my new car or whatever, you know my answer? It's okay. I feel like I was with them. It's okay. Because, you know, some things just don't have the same appeal. And they're not supposed to. I'm not saying young people aren't supposed to have that appeal. You need to have your time to really like stuff just like me. But at this age, hey, there are other things that are far more important. It's far more important now that my children and my grandkids have successes and preparing that if Jesus doesn't come, leave them $1.
Yeah.
You know, so they can have, you know, they won't, you know, have some sense that it's not a legacy I'm trying to leave them. It's just trying to help them out. In God, when it comes to it, I'm never going to stop believing that he'll open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we have not room enough to receive. I'm not going to stop believing that all the promises of God are yea and in him amen. I'm not going to stop believing that. And sometimes the devil, it's like the devil wore on Job, and things would happen, and then he piled on. Not only did he take everything he had, then he killed his kids off, and then the next day he comes back a couple of days later after all this, and he's going through all this calamity, and all of a sudden now I've got boils, and now I'm sick, and now all these things are coming, as if God wasn't going to deliver him. And Job had made up his mind, I'm not going to change my mind about God. Yeah. I might wonder why these things are happening to me, and that's human to do. There's nothing wrong with wondering sometimes why things are happening, because perhaps in wondering why they're happening, you will ask God. Who knows? Yeah. And so Job, in the end, he does get a chance to talk to God, and God reminds him, hey, I've been in control all along, and I haven't forgotten you. You know, and I'm with you, and he blesses Job, and Job ends up twice as good as before. So when it comes down to the church, doing church work and whatever, where is your priority? What is your priority?
Yes.
You know, this is, you know, whether you're Lazarus, who has nothing, or whether you're Isaac, who was very rich. Are you a Job who was the richest man in the East at that particular time? And
yes.
Regardless of which one you are, where are your priorities? And you do have priorities, and I don't say you don't have God, but where does God fit in?
Yes.
And the work of God and the things of God?
Yes.
Well, for some of us, they're higher than others. I was on my way to this morning, and I'm looking at this. I said I was going to Hebrews. I guess I'll just go to 2 Corinthians, and then I'll go on. And maybe you'll stay tuned in until I finish. I was coming to church this morning, and as I drove out of Crosswinds Landing, if you're listening for the Spirit all the time, then you'll hear him when he's speaking to you. And if you wonder if it's the Spirit or not, then there's something you have to do in order to know whether it's the Spirit or not. One of them is you have to have a lot of the Word of God stored within. You have to, the Word of God has to be in you of a truth. And the Word of God has to be such that when the Holy Spirit comes, because he's going to identify himself by the Word of God.
Yes.
You're going to know if you would say, I don't know if it was the Spirit or not. Well, did it come with the Word of God? When the Holy Ghost shows up, he always shows up with the Word of God. It is, he comes As Jesus told them when he was getting ready to leave, and we were studying about that, he told them, he says, when the Holy Ghost comes, he's going to remind you of the things that I said to you. In other words, you're going to know it's him because he's going to remind you of the things that I said to you. He's going to bring them back to your memory, back to your remembrance. And when you see the disciples go out in Acts and they're doing things, they're doing things according to the way they saw Jesus do them. And the Holy Ghost is reminding them because what Jesus did, the Holy Ghost does, and so forth and so on. So the method hadn't changed in that regard. And so I was writing out this morning as I on my way to service this morning, and the point of it just kept saying to me this morning is, what is your priority? Because someone told me, and I won't mention what the suggestion was that had to be our great priority. I won't go there because that's between me and the Lord at this point. But they said something ought to be my greatest priority at this particular time, or they intimated, let me say, if they didn't say it in words, they made this assertion that this is something we need to work on more than anything else. And I thought to myself, that's not my greatest priority in church. It's not my greatest priority for Promise Church or any place else that I know. My greatest priority in God is to get people saved. That's my number one priority. It's a shame that I spent so many years having priorities that superseded that. That's a shame. That should have been my priority from the day that the Lord called me to preach. I'm not saying I shouldn't have done a lot of other things, but that should have been my priority. That's the one thing that can't ever be placed on the back burner. Anything we're doing for God, I don't care if we're having a concert. It doesn't matter if we're having a community day. It doesn't matter if we're having a webinar. It doesn't matter what we're having, a jurisdictional meeting. It doesn't matter, a lady meeting, brother. Whatever we're having, the point of having it is so it facilitates our winning people to Christ. And if it does anything else other than give us information, help us understand the Word of God, do whatever it does with the end result that we would win men and women to Christ, then it has a priority other than God's. And we do a lot of that, don't we?
Yes.
Oh, yes, we do. The priority is always that. So my priority is no longer focused on whatever you want to say, and I know what. It's just on getting people saved. So, well, what if you don't do that? Well, I just don't do it, but it'll be my priority.
Priority, yes.
And I pray that, and I'm going to pray and ask God with the mindset of doing that.
Yes.
Getting a move of the Spirit and getting people saved. Because that's what we're supposed to do. I remember the charge that God gave to Paul. Do you remember the charge that God gave to Paul? I'm not really jumping all over because I am going to 2 Corinthians since I stopped there. This charge that God gave to Paul, it's in Acts. And it never goes away. It's in Acts, the 26th chapter. In 18th verse, it says, and this is the charge he gave them, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might have, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, which is sanctified by faith that is in me. And to me here is Christ speaking to Paul. That everything he did, he remembered that charge. That was his point in going from place to place and doing all. It never changed. And if he established the church, it was to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, that they could have their sins forgiven and have everlasting life. And if the churches became a district, as we like to say, it was to open people's eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and they might have forgiveness of sins and have eternal life. And if the district became a jurisdiction, as we say, or whatever, it was to open people's eyes. And everything, every point that he had, still had that same reason for being there. It never became just having an organization. We want to be an organization. It wasn't for that. It didn't say he didn't have organizations. I'm not saying that, because he did. Yes. And I'm not saying Israel wasn't organized, because they were.
Yeah.
But the reason they were organized by men and by families and by tribes and so forth and so on was so they could serve the purpose of God. And Israel's overwhelming purpose for God was to teach people who the true God was, bring them out of idolatry, and cause the whole earth to be blessed. This was the manifest that God gave Abraham, that through you all nations will be blessed.
Yes.
And that still goes on today, but we forget, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
And we make the running of the church and the we use the word church, but let's just say the administration of the church,
the
earthly administration. We let that get way in front of what we're really supposed to be doing. So getting back to 2 Corinthians, the whole 8th chapter, whatever it is, 9th chapter, when it comes to being in the house of God, and this is something we cannot avoid, and Paul in this particular case, in the 8th chapter, he tells them how Jesus became poor, In 8 and 8, I speak not by command, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. This is the point that he makes when he's talking about them in particular, and he's talking about money in this particular time. Because they're having a famine in Jerusalem, a dearth, and they're sending support to the church in Jerusalem to maintain them and sustain them. And he's reminding them that Jesus gave everything to save you. Because, and what he's doing is not just begging for money, sow a seed so I can buy my fifth jet, and all those things. And I'm not knocking them. If you got them, you got them. Okay, go with them. But I'm not trying to buy a jet. I'm just trying to pay off a metal building. He says, and though Jesus was rich, in other words, he had everything. This man is the Word. He's the one we call God the Father, and the one we know is the Holy Spirit. He's God himself. He's the creator of all things. He's the agent of creation. He became poor. What could be poorer than becoming a human? What could be lower than that? Angels are greater in power. At least they are now. They won't always be what they are at the moment. So that he could save all of us. He says, and there's another one, there's another scripture in it too, talks about, or in verse 3, to their power I bear ye record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. In other words, they had a will. They were willing to give. And here is one of the things that even when I was in Church of God in Christ, I had a hard time with, although I probably shouldn't have, but I did. I just always been kind of on the outside looking in. I just don't, you know, when it comes down to people giving, the only portion that you can be a blessing about is the portion that you give willingly. And so you say, well, okay, well, if I'm not willing, I may as well not give. No, that's kind of true, but then it leaves you with this. Then you need to pray and ask God, Lord, give me a clean heart and give me and change me so that I have a willingness to give.
Yeah.
You can't just get away with saying, well, okay, then if I can't give willingly, it's not going to be glory to God, and I'm not going to give at all. No, that's like saying, if the only way I can be saved is to be saved willingly, then I'm not going to be saved at all. No, you can't afford that because eternity is coming.
Yes.
You can't save what you won't do in God simply because you can't go along with it until God changes you, because eternity is coming.
Yes.
There remaineth a rest. And now I see where it's bringing me into my Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
There remaineth a rest.
Yes.
That we're supposed to be in. You can't just save what you won't do in God because well, whether you're willing or not willing, get down here and give that money. No. Because now we're being obedient to you, but we aren't glorifying God.
Yeah.
And you're not teaching us to give. You know what you're teaching me to do? Go to the bathroom during the offering. That's what you're teaching me to do. You're teaching me that on the night that you preach not to show up.
Yes.
You teach, you know, those who don't have to show up, those who don't sit up front so people will know they're not there. Oh, people do it all the time. Say, what church did they do that? CLGI. You're teaching us, you know, how not to obey and how to escape obeying.
Yes.
But no, this is not what Paul does when he teaches them. He brings them back to Jesus and say, hey, you know, you ought not have a problem giving. Jesus gave everything.
Yes.
So that you'd be saved and there is have you ever considered Minister Smith, Elder Reed, have you ever considered our salvation is God's highest priority?
Yes.
Our salvation is God's highest priority. Everything else is on the back burner, whatever else he has going on. Our salvation at this point, salvation, man's salvation is God's highest priority. And yet among us, God is way down here someplace. And you've heard me say this, preach this before, right on the board. You're not going to change my mind about it. For those of us who are in God, if you're not going to be in God, then your blessings, you know, for people that... Let me tell you what sinners do in case you keep... Your mind keeps clicking back to sinners. Let me tell you how that works, at least from where I stand. Sinners live and breathe because of the glory, because of the grace and mercy of God. Their hearts beat. Their lungs pump. But don't ever think that the devil isn't able to cause them to have wealth. See, the devil can bless them and make them have wealth all the time. Don't think that he can't anoint them and give them power because he is able to do that.
Yes.
Say, well, no, he can't do all that. Yes, he can, because he told Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, the Son of God, if you worship me, I'll give you all the world, all these cities. I'll put all these things within your power. He would have never said that unless he had the power to do it.
Yeah.
That's why evil people, in order to be really, really rich, there's an evil about you.
Yes.
That lets you disperse your money and do various things. But if it's not pure evil, like one in particular who's just evil from inside out and who has blinded so many people who call themselves people of God, I'll be glad when God breaks that yoke. And I'm waiting for it because it's going to be glorious. If Jesus doesn't come, somehow God's going to break that yoke. And when he does, it's going to be like a 15 magnitude earthquake.
Yes.
And things are going to shatter and shimmer. And because God told, you know, Zechariah, one of them, he said, I'm going to shake heaven and shake earth. But the devil is able to give wealth to people who will serve him. And he gives wealth to people who will serve them so supposedly, as the term we use, it will fly in the face of God and say, you're not the only way they can be blessed.
Yeah.
And every blessing that Satan gives comes with the mantra, you don't need God.
Yes.
Even if you're like Bill Gates and you do lots of foundations around the world, you feed the hungry and do all these things, his wealth still comes with the mantra of, I'm feeding you. You don't need God.
Yes.
I'm educating you. You don't need God. Well, I am hoping that he won't stop doing that.
Yes.
Because people need to eat.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that he won't stop educating people because people need to be educated.
Yes.
But we have to, as people, have to think to ourselves, we have to say to ourselves, I need an education and I need food, but I also have to make sure it doesn't change my standard in God.
God, yes.
Because my highest priority is to serve God. And then among us who serve God, our highest priority is to be, here again, the brightness of his glory so that people see him in us with the intent that my life would cause others to have my life. Listen, if you have a life that people don't want in Christ, if you're the sort of person who doesn't draw people to Christ because they want your life, how are you ever going to get people saved? You going to bark them into being saved?
No.
No, you're not. So he says in this, and then we get down to this verse, and I'm looking for it. Oh, let's see. Verse 12. 8 and 12. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. And this is where we get the phrase we use all the time. There first must be a willing mind. There first must be a willing mind. This is why it is the difference between the widow giving 2 cents and everybody else giving much, because Jesus says she's giving everything that she has.
Yes.
God has become her priority.
Yes.
She has just this 2 cents or 1 cent or whatever she's giving, and she's going to give this rather than eat. She's going to give this rather than buy new clothes. She's going to give this rather than do anything. She's going to give it to God. Now, in this day and time, we're not asking you to give money to the church and not pay your rent. Because you say, why not? I'll tell you why not. Because in my days in the house of God, since I've been saved, I'm not saying that God hasn't moved for people's houses and given them miracles. But we don't always have the power. In other words, the Holy Ghost doesn't. We move in the Spirit. We are filled with the Spirit, and we have some anointing. But we don't have Jesus' anointing, whereby He is able to. Did I lose sound or something? I don't think so. We don't have Jesus' anointing, whereby He's able. Whereby we're able to just say, give all your money and don't worry about it. When you go out, there's a house sitting out down the edge of the city, and they're going to give it to you. We don't operate. I wish we had that power.
Yeah.
I do. I wish I had that much of an anointing and all that, but I don't.
Yes.
So in the reality of it, I have to say to you, listen, don't bring your house note money into God now. What you do is if the only money you have is for your house note to feed your family, feed your family and tell God, Lord, when you bless me, I'm going to give to God.
Yes.
I don't have Elijah's anointing where I could tell the woman who had the sticks and whatever, make me a cake first, and then and then when you read all that, you find out that a couple of things that God has in place. One, this woman knows He's coming.
Yes.
Because God has told her He's coming.
Yes.
And since God has told her He's coming, when he comes, she recognizes who He is when He asks for that. She knows God's going to move.
Yes.
They have great faith, and in that time, they needed it.
Yes.
So, let's look at it for what it is. But I will tell you this, though. If you make God a vow that when He blesses you, you're going to pay your tithes and your offering, by God, when God blesses you, you need to do it.
Do it, yes.
If you make God a vow that when He gives you more time, you're going to pray more, when you get more time, you need to do it.
Yes.
If you're working 4.5 jobs and you never have time to come to the house of God, if you will make God a vow that you will put that extra time in God, God will give you one job that's worth all four.
Yes.
Of course, I do know a few people, they'd rather have 3 jobs than come to the house of God, and I can't help you on that. If you'd rather have 3 or 4 jobs just rather than come to church, hey, what do you want me to tell you? How do you, if that's more important to you than God, then, in that great day, you will find out. But when it comes down to giving to the house of God, and normally, if I didn't have people who were already saved, and I think everybody is, and giving whatever, this is probably not what I came for this morning, but I'm going to get over to Hebrews in a minute. If you want the windows of heaven to open and pour you out a blessing that you have not room enough to receive, and I'm looking up here, and the only person who probably might even come close to that is probably Sister Dawana. I know the rest of us ain't got no money. Let me see who else is up there. Oh, India's doing pretty good. Antoine's doing okay. Let's see, Ella Jenkins is doing well, but Ella Jenkins has poured so much money into her church, which she's going to have to stop doing because she's getting older, and she knows that. She told me herself. And I agree 100%. It is time to let God move in some ways and do some things because we are getting older.
Yes.
And we do have to have some concern for ourselves because nobody else knows. But for everybody I'm looking at up here, there's nobody I see on this board around here that I know of, and if you are, let me know, that God has opened the windows of heaven and poured you out a blessing that you have not room. It's more than you can, than you know what to do with.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, everybody on this board, if you got $1,000 a day, you know exactly where every penny needs to go.
Yes.
But I'll go even one better than that. If you got $10,000 a day, and you can say so by raising your hand, you know exactly where you do with it. I know I would.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
I have not room enough to receive you. I've got room for $50,000.
Yes.
And since this church isn't paid off, I've got room for $300,000.
Yes, I do.
So it's sure with me, I wouldn't know what to do with it because I would.
Yes.
But he says in this, the people who have this mind, so we're going down to 9 now. And we'll look at verse 6. But this I say, let me see if I want to read this other verse before this. But this I say, verse 6, chapter 9, verse 6. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. And this is where I run into the point of trying to shout people out or embarrass them and make them come down and give money. Then they're given of necessity. And this doesn't work in God. I was trying to explain to somebody one time. I don't think it went over too well. As they said, this said military, it went over like a lead balloon. I was trying to explain to them the difference between assessments and tithes. If you've got $10 and it's a choice of paying assessments or tithes, the tithes are what God wants.
Yes.
Assessments are a tax.
Yes.
We need them from time to time to build the church up. And we pray you give assessments you need to give willingly too. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't paid your tithes, your assessments in God don't count.
Yes.
Because they count for us.
Yes.
You don't have to agree with me. I don't mind. But I'm telling you now, God asks for your tithes.
Yes.
Assessments is what we ask for on earth.
Yes.
We set them. We determine them.
Yes.
We meet every year and decide how much you're going to speak for this year. Well, this year, you know, people make a lot of money. They make a lot of money. They can afford it. They can afford it. That's where that comes from.
Yes.
If you've ever wondered how assessments are apportioned, that's where they come from. We sit around and say, but everybody ain't got that kind of money. Look down there. He's an engineer. She's an architect. There it is. Them people got money. They got the money. Well, does the church need it? Yeah, probably. But I'm telling you, that's not the money that gets your reward.
Yes.
That's not what Malachi's talking about.
No.
That's obedience.
Yes.
Does it count? Yes,
yes.
But it's not the same.
Yes.
So then, if I had $10 and chose between me paying assessments and paying my tithes, I would pay my tithes.
Yes.
So well, then you won't be able to get into the meetings. Your name will be off the roll. It won't be off my roll in heaven.
That's right.
It won't be off the roll in heaven.
That's right.
And that's the one to me that matters. And when I do that one, God's going to give me the money so I'll have my assessment money too.
Yes. Amen.
When I do that one and stop scrimping, see, this is where I set a priority. You see how quickly we get into priorities?
Yes.
If you sow bountifully, an assessment is not sowing to God. Does the church need it? Yes. But you got to have the priority on what's there.
Yeah.
So then he says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. Now I'm gonna leave it right there and go to Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll talk about it some more in this. This is not only in this particular case, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth because the church in Corinth is blessed. Don't ever let anybody tell you the church in Corinth is not blessed. Don't let them tell you the church in Corinth is backslidden like the church in Galatia, because it's not. They have some people who are backslidden, but they don't need for Paul to say to them that Christ needs to be formed in them again because they're still operating in the gifts. Are some of them off? Yes, they are. Is there sin in the church in Corinth? There sure is.
Yeah.
Are some of the people doing some of the things they have no business doing? Yes, there are. And when Paul goes in, he has to straighten out a lot of them so that the church will continue. What I love about Paul in the church of Corinth is Paul doesn't go in and beat up one particular thing that they're doing wrong and leave all the other things out.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't come in and just talk about them being in fornication and adultery, as the case would be, and not talk about all these people who will have strife and division and all these things. He doesn't talk about adultery and not get around to the people who are idols. Who are idolaters.
Yes.
In other words, they're sitting in church, but they have other gods.
Yeah.
They have other things they do, which is outside of God. He takes care of everything. If you're going to clean up, you know, if you're going to sweep the floor, don't just sweep a small spot. Get everything.
Yes.
And what else? Another thing I love about Paul, it is not the matter that he cleans up the house of God. It's how he does it.
Yeah.
In every case, he continually reminds them because he has this priority. The priority is that they would be saved and have eternal life. It is more important that the man caught in adultery have eternal life than it is that he get put out.
Yes.
We need to put him out. But the point being is so he will consider what he's doing. He needs to sit down. But the reason why he needs to sit down is so he will contemplate what he's doing and make up his mind whether or not it's more important to him to have that or have God. This is always the intent. And here again, I told you, in relation to how we treat our kids. When we correct our kids, there's some things about our kids that we absolutely must correct. There's some behavior that we cannot allow. But we have to have the mindset of correcting so that they will get things right and be productive and be successful and not punishment, because I want to show you who's in charge. Yeah. You are in charge. And the person who already knows that is you.
Yeah.
And even if it comes down to saying, well, I need to show you who's in charge, there's a way to do that.
Yeah.
And that you must find. And this is what God works with all the time. Now, what about us? Well, we're such knuckleheads. We take advantage of God, and when the Spirit corrects and chastens us, we take advantage of God. And the other thing is, because God's not standing here right now, and hell seems not to be immediate to us, we seem to think it's not immediate from the point of view of what we do is we figure it's gonna come one day, but not now. You know how we live? Jesus is going to come one day, but not now.
Yeah.
It's always, this is going to happen one day, but not now.
Yeah.
And you're only one heartbeat away, one twinkle of the eye away from meeting Jesus, but we always seem to think to ourselves, but not now.
Yeah.
Remember Minister Kenita Williams, I think she's an elder now, Elder Kenita Williams. Remember her in prayer. Her father passed yesterday. I was talking to her last night. He was on his way to the hospital, and they got him in the car, and then he had a cardiac arrest, and that was it. But he was ready.
Yeah.
We seem to have this mindset that, you know, when it comes to God, we can put off God.
Yeah.
That's why we don't pay tithes. We can put off God.
Yes.
You know, he's the person he's not like Gulf Power. You don't pay Gulf Power? Gulf Power has no sense of humor, no grace, no mercy. You don't pay Gulf Power? They'll give you a month, but the second month, Gulf Power is going to cut off your power.
Oh,
Gulf
yes.
Power is going to take your power.
Yes.
And all around you will have lights running, and your particular house will not have any energy. You don't pay Okaloosa gas. You'll be cold if you have gas heat. You don't pay your car note from whatever bank you got it from. Those folk will send you letters and do a lot of things, and one day you will look up, because I've had it happen to me when I was young. I've had a car repossessed. One day you'll answer the door, and a person will be standing there, and they'll be very nice about it, and they'll be so gentle with you, you'll think they came from a funeral parlor. And they'll be coming to take your car, and they'll say, well, you know, we're sorry you're having such a difficult time. I've had a repossession before. We're sorry you're having such a difficult time, and, you know, and I know things are probably going to get better. But I'm going to have to at least take this car for, if they start off with me, for at least 60 days. We'll give you 60 days. We're going to keep it in impound. And if you can keep up your payments in 60 days. Now, if you're hiding it past that part, that's the reason why they hook up and don't tell you nothing. But anyway, and they will take it. But since God doesn't come and immediately snatch your breath away when you don't obey, you don't mind doing that with God. You can always stall God.
Mm.
Yes, you can. You know, He's not going to count the nickels and cents whether you pay him or not. But where does it show up? It shows up. Hold your place in Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Shows up in Malachi. And he's talking about money, but the same thing can be done on time. It shows up in Malachi. In the third chapter. And, the tenth verse. Bring ye all the tithes and offerings into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. In other words, that my house will be taken care of. For all the older people who've been around for a long time, and you like to use the Bible literally from time to time and not transition to the new time, then the next time the Bible talks about you being blessed with cattle, that's what I'm hoping God will give you, some cows. If you can't make the transition between when he says that there may be meat in my house, because at that time, during the priesthood, a lot of the tithes were in the offerings that they would bring, since they brought offerings to God. The tithes were in the bulls and the goats and the flour and the vegetables, all those things, because that's what the priests and the Levites had to eat.
Yeah.
And they took care of them. So you have to make this transition from meat being the necessities of the church.
Yeah.
That the necessities of the church would be met. And if you can't make that translation, then like I said, the next time you need a blessing for God, and the point where it says that you'll have lots of horses and cows, I hope that when you look on your lawn, that's what you get, horses and cows. Because we don't use horses and cows today. We're looking for a car. So make the transition. Stay with me. And he says in this, that there might be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not. One, so where's it going to show up? Number one, if you don't pay tithes and offerings, it's not about Bishop Smith or about Promise Church. It's between you and God. Then he doesn't say that you're going to starve. And he doesn't say that you're going to be lost. And he doesn't say any of those things. But he does say that if you do this, he'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you have not room enough to receive. And if you don't do this, then it's not that you're not going to be blessed, but you're not going to be blessed to this extent. And most of us, if you're not where you need to be successfully in the earth as far as money is concerned, job is concerned, career is concerned, health is concerned, then you're being sustained already because your heart is beating and your lungs are pumping, but you need more. I need more. This church needs more. We have heat this morning, but we need more.
Yeah.
We need more. So then he says in this, and I will rebuke the devourer. If you don't do that, things come in your life and you're asking the Lord, stop the devil. Well, he stops him from killing you every day. But sometimes he shows up in ways, you just really need the Lord. Say, Lord, this is the devil. I need you to move. If you put your time in God and God will become a priority, he will rebuke the devourer for you. In other words, the one that comes that when you make money, there's something for it. And when you get an extra dollar, there's something for it.
Yes.
And you never can get ahead because as soon as this comes, that happens.
Yes.
For your sakes. And he will destroy, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. In other words, you can accumulate because as fast as you get something, it falls apart. Neither shall your vine cast the fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord. The no more nation shall call you blessed, and you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, in today's terms, what he's saying is things, you know how things don't always pan out for you? You have fruit growing, but before it gets ripe, it falls to the ground and rots. He's not referring to your tomato plants. Tomato plants have to be propped up. That's the reason why I thought about them. If they rested on the ground, they would rot before the tomatoes got ripe.
Mm.
He's not referring to your tomato plants. He's referring to the things you have in front of you that always look promising, but they don't ever pan out.
Yeah.
That's your fruit that falls to the ground before the time.
Yeah.
Before it gets ripe and before you can receive from it, it falls to the ground and becomes corrupt. He says these things come about when you obey God and bring your tithes and your offerings to the storehouse. It also works in your time. So, well, it doesn't say time, but it's my another place in the Bible says that where a person's money is, that's where his heart is.
Yes.
So when it refers to this, he's talking about where your heart is, your time in God, your money, your expense, what you will do for God. And here again, don't turn around and say, well, these sinners, they have their reward. What you're waiting for is eternal life.
Yes.
Don't ever let the devil turn you to a point where you start comparing yourselves and what you have with sinners. They have their reward now. Mm-hmm. He likes to get saved people to turn around and say, well, you know, these people over here, they're not halfway doing it. They're getting blessed more than me. No, they're not being blessed more than you because they don't have eternal life. It's fleeting. Don't ever make that mistake. And there's so much that they don't have in the earth, whether you know it or not.
Yeah.
One time Chandra came on. Was it Chandra? I guess it was Chandra. And I don't know if she still, I guess she still feels this way. But she was saying to me at some point in time, I don't know who it was in her school or whatever, and she was saying to me, she was glad she had parents who didn't drink and didn't do all these things, who were good parents. Do you remember that? I don't remember what the situation was. It's one of the few times in life she's ever really showed me she appreciated me. No, that's not true. But anyway, you never, when you look at people who live lives different from you, in a worldly term, but it's true because literally, you don't know what demons they fight.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
You really don't know what demons they fight. You don't know what stresses they have. And you don't know what's in front of them that's going to cause them to give up because they have no hope. You should be grateful for the life that you have in God. Yeah. What should happen is, instead of saying, well, I'm in God, and saying, like, well, they have all this, and what do you have? Well, I got God. Wrong mind. What you should say to yourself is, you know what? I got God. God is greater than what they have.
Yes.
And you need to turn to God and say, Lord, what do I need to do to outshine them?
Yeah.
My life needs to be greater than what they seem to be having.
Yeah.
Their lives cause people to want to be like them. Yeah. What do I need to do so people will want to be like me?
Yes.
Instead of running behind them and saying, well, you know, I'm doing the best I can, and this. No, you need to say, Lord, what do I need to do so that my life outshines theirs, and so that they're drawn to me like I'm drawn to. I like the, you know, because you know what we have? We will turn around and say, we like the freedom that they have, like we're bound. And then if eternal life is not your highest priority, then you haven't learned the perfect liberty that you have in Christ. And if the Holy Ghost is not someone that you're really being close to and listening to all the time, you have an advantage that you do not use. You have someone that you can call on. It's and here again, like I told you, the relationship between parents and kids. Let your kids get in trouble or need something, and you find out about it. And what's the first thing you say to them? Why didn't you ask me? I could have helped you with that. Why didn't you come to me? I could have done that. Now you're in this and that, and I got to get you out of it. But you should have come to me in the first place. This is what God says. Why didn't you ask me?
Yeah.
Well, you know why you didn't ask me? Because you didn't want to hear my answer.
Yeah.
And why don't you put more time in me? Because, unknowing to you, you think that the thing and the place you want to be is better than where I am. That's not true. Here again we have this evil one which deceives and that makes you think that there's something greater than God. Mm-hmm. And there's not. Mm-hmm. Now I got to finish up because my time is running out. Hebrews 4th chapter. Let us therefore fear. And I got to find my iPad because I told you I was going to start reading a lot of things in the New Living Text. I was reading one this morning. Amplified is one of them. And see if I have it up. Yeah, I do. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as to them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In other words, Paul is saying to the Hebrew church at that particular time, who knows very well the wilderness experience, and how even though they were brought out of Egypt, which represents sin, that we were brought out of by his strong arm and outstretched hand. Yeah. His grace and his strength and his mercy by the Holy Ghost. He says, even though we know all this, he says, let us, and even though we're sitting up in churches today, and when I say us, you notice I don't say even though you're sitting up in church today, I say us.
Yes.
Us. I don't ever discount. I don't ever get the mindset that I'm on my way to heaven no matter what, and the rest of you need to try and follow and tag in with me. No, I'm aware of me and where I stand with God. I know that I'm upheld by his power. I am maintained by his power. Make no mistake about it. I live because of his grace and his mercy. Make no mistake about it. I have not gotten to the point yet where I can just say, hey, no problem. No, I have to pray just like everybody else, and sometimes even more. A lot of times more. I have to fast like everybody else, and sometimes more. I need to fast more. I'm thinking about fasting all next week now. I have to have the grace of God. I am very afraid that if I stop paying my tithes and offering, my money would be cut off, and God has blessed me way too much. I said that he's never opened the windows of heaven and given me something that I had not room enough to put. I could put it in a place. But that's not the same as saying that God hasn't blessed me to the point where I do have some surplus, because I do.
Yes.
I have, the Lord has blessed me. But I know that if I stop serving God, that could end very quickly. I know where my blessings come from. And I'm not worried about where Bezos, money in Amazon, I'm not worried about all that.
Yeah.
Why would you, what is the point of having tons of money? You become like Solomon. Give me a moment and I'll be finished. Solomon said, if you read Solomon, you will find out when he says in Proverbs, those places, and when you read Ecclesiastes and all those, Solomon has said, I've done everything there is in the world to do.
Yeah.
He says, I've got more money than you could ever have. And he says, and I found out with all my money and all my doing that it was vanity. In other words, it just didn't amount to anything. Why do you think rich people climb Mount Everest and do all these things? They don't. They have more money than there's anything in the earth for them to do. They have more money than there's anything in the earth for them to do. Their money in itself has become boring. So they're trying to find something else. I mean, I look at those who have plenty. We have, for lack of a better word, I'll bring it up. Not talking. We have literally spoiled Timaeus. Timaeus has so many toys because he's not just in our house, but we don't have a lot of kids and a lot of grandkids. So my sister and all of them, and my sister in Boston, and my son in San Antonio, I mean in Arizona. Everybody, and his dad. So he just, and it gets to a point where he can't have the joy in one toy before he's got another. We're gonna cut back because me and Chandra talked about it. It's the same thing with me, and I told you this before. I used to love when Paula went shopping, just go shopping near a music store. And if she goes shopping near a music store, I can go down to the music store and play every bass they have on their shelf and enjoy it until I bought my Tobias. And then when I bought a Tobias, music stores don't carry them because they're so high end, you have to have them made or you have to order them. And when I got that Olympic, surely, I mean, I was out there. You got to be in New York or someplace to even find one like them. L.A. someplace. All of a sudden, going into music stores for me has no joy. Because you're not going to find anything like you want. That's what it's like in a small way when you have a whole lot of money. The things that give us joy, like the new car that's going to give Paula joy when she gets it. She's looking at probably whatever she's looking at. Hey, what is it to someone who has a ton of money and all those things? So be careful how you do this. Getting back to where I was. So he says in this, let us be, stop looking at rich people and their wealth and thinking to yourself, hey, but here I am. Well, I got Jesus. And you say it like that? It's not like you should say to them, I don't have all this money, but I got Jesus. You should have the mindset, but I got Jesus. They're wealthy, but I got eternal life.
Yes.
It's not me wanting what they have. They should want what I have.
Yes.
Well, you can say that all you want, but unless you let your light shine and it becomes your life, people won't see that in you.
Yeah.
And you can tell them all you want, but I'm just going to go pray. And they'll say, well, yeah, you go pray. I'm going to do what I'm doing. You go pray. No. We need to be the sort of people that people see that when we pray, things happen.
Yes.
When we pray, God hears, God listens.
Yes.
You become that sort of person because you put your time and your life in God. If you put your life in God sparingly, you shall also reap sparingly. If you put your life, your money, your time, your heart in God, you shall also reap bountifully. Now, as I'm finishing this morning, he says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. Some of us are ashamed to come short of it. We have a rest in God, eternal life. But there's more than one rest. There is a rest in the earth. Verse 9. For there remaineth therefore a rest of the people of God, for he that is entered into this rest, he also has ceased from his own work as God did. In other words, he says to them, when he says there remaineth a rest, he lets us know that there's also some rest in the earth. When the Lord puts us in a house that we own, rest.
Yes.
When the Lord puts us in a car that's paid for, rest. When we have a good health plan, which is what people need in earth because these bodies are falling apart, rest.
Yeah.
And so forth. And the list is long. When your freezer is full, rest. Mm. When your refrigerator is full, rest. No room in the pantry, rest. Doing all right, rest. But there remaineth a rest that's greater than that.
Yes.
There's one that's greater. That's the one you're working for.
Yes.
That's the one you're desiring. This is where you really want to be. All the things of the earth, he says in Matthew 3:38, and we won't go there this morning, but all those things in the earth, those things he will give, and also, and even more so, eternal life. You've got to get to a point where you have to have God. He says, let us therefore labor in 11. To enter into that rest, lest any man should fall into the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and also the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He's talking about the word of God and how it keeps us and how it sustains us. Let me read I'll read it in Old New Living. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between the joints and marrow, and exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. When we read the word of God, like we read this morning about sowing bountifully, when we read what Malachi says and all those, these are the things that make a division between what is spirit and what is law. It's a difference between what the spirit wants. If you will, in these last couple of minutes, let me say this. The Holy Spirit is never wrong. He knows exactly what I need to do to have everlasting life. He doesn't know it one time and give me one plan and set it in stone. He has a very personal, the plan of God is the same all the time. It's keeping the person who's Charles Smith in line with it. And because the Holy Spirit is moving and fluid, let me see if I remember. Yeah, because he's moving and fluid, he makes this adjustment to me all the time with this same plan in mind. He does what the computer systems do in our car when we have all traction drive and all those things. But when they send rockets to the moon, they make these computers make these million adjustments and just keep moving in their regard and keeping them. The Holy Spirit is moving in me all the time if I will allow him.
Someone's calling.
If I will let him. He's moving in me all the time if I will allow him. And he's adjusting me continually. Unless you want to shut him off. Sometimes when I'm driving and I've made up my mind on the route I'm going to take, I'll turn on my navigation system just for the sake of seeing how long it's going to take me or whatever. And I already know what route I'm going to take. Like when I'm coming from Pensacola, when I'm coming from Mobile, it will always send me across Pensacola because it's the shortest amount of miles. It's only 49. And it will send me down 110. I know I'm not going to go down 110 because I'm not going to go across Pensacola, and I'm not going to drive through, and I'm not going to drive through Gulf Breeze. I'm not going to do either one. I'm not going to drive through Gulf Breeze. I'm going to go straight down 10 to at least Garcon Point, and then I'm going to come across the Garcon Point Bridge, and if I don't do that, I'm going down to 87. I already know that. But when I'm approaching 110, my guidance system is going to say to me, the shortest route and the easiest route to get there is to go down through Pensacola and across Gulf Breeze. But I don't want to contend with Gulf Breeze, even though it's the shortest route. I don't want to go through there. So my computer keeps saying to me, turn now. Get in the left lane. Do all this. You know what I do eventually? Turn it off.
Yeah.
Until I get beyond where the turnoff is, then I'll turn it back on. You know what you do when you don't want to listen to the Spirit? You turn him off.
Yeah.
Until you've done what you want to do.
Yeah.
Then you want to turn it back on. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, God is merciful. So you know what God will do? He does like my computer. It better so. He picks you up wherever you are.
Yeah.
And he gives you another route.
Yeah.
Getting to the same place. Once again, he chooses the route that's the shortest way there.
Yeah.
And he says to you, this is the best route you should take. And it's the fastest time. Because I can plug in and say fastest time. This gets you there the quickest way. And now I have a choice. I can do it or not. And if he says go across Garstone Point, I've made up my mind. I'm going down 87. He keeps telling me to get over Garstone Point. But I'm not going to do that. So I turn him off again. So I pass by that little highway. Then when I turn him on again, this is what we keep doing with God. And every time we come to God, eternity is still the same destination, same place, and he still tells us which way we're going. Well, that exercise is easier when we're driving. Going to heaven is different. Because every time we have to dial into the Spirit and get started again, you have to start again with a running start. And you never get ahead. You'd be almost home by now. But you keep not following on. The biggest mistake I ever made was we were in Washington, D.C. one time, and I thought I knew where I was going. I turned it off. Me and Paul got so lost forever. So he says in this, finishing up, there remains a rest for us, a rest in the earth. What is my rest in the earth? When this building gets paid off, that's a rest.
Yes.
When the land behind it gets paid off, that's a rest. When I get Paul's car taken care of, rest.
Amen.
When Paul finishes all this surgery and stuff for her cancer, rest.
Amen.
There are just different times. When Chandra gets her job, she wants rest.
Amen.
When she gets in the house she wants to be in, rest.
Amen.
When she pays that house off, rest.
Yes. Yes.
When Antoine pays his house off, rest.
Yes. Yes.
And it just keeps going on. But there remains a rest.
Yes.
That's eternal life.
Yes.
The rest that we get in the earth encourages us in God and causes us to go on in God. And the whole time we're doing it, every time we get it, God is saying to us, well, you're doing okay. This is the rest that you get if you obey God. If Chandra pays her tithes, God will bless her and her house will get paid off sooner.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
Yeah.
Because God is not going to let his word go void. If you bring your tithes into the storehouse, God will bless you. Is that simple?
Yeah.
If you know. And the other thing about this, I want to say to everybody too, when it comes to paying tithes, God invented counting. So he knows how much it is. Okay? And then if you're not able to do it, God is a merciful Savior. Make God a vow. And tell God, if you will give me grace and give me what I need, do like Hannah. Hannah told God, if you give me a son, when he gets old enough, I'll bring him back and give him to you. You need to tell God, when you bless me to the point where I can, I will pay my tithes and more. Those are the things, and I'm not all about tithes, but those are the kind of vows that you make to God and get God to move.
Yes.
To move for you, because God said that he would.
Yeah.
Tell God, Lord, when I get on my feet, if you will get me on my feet, this is what I will do. And then when you get on your feet, do it. Now, if God has moved for you and you made him a vow and you didn't follow through on it, man, you got a little bit more of a push.
Yeah.
But if you say to God, Lord, when you work this out or do this, I'm going to pray, then the Holy Ghost is going to remind you, and he's not going to do it in the middle of the day when you're driving across the Golden Gate Bridge. He's going to say to you, you told God you're going to pray. You need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because God has another reward. You're not just paying him back for what he's given. You've moved in God. You've seen his. You've shown him your faith. He's shown you his. He wants to do more.
Mm.
It's not just back payment. He wants to do more.
Yes.
He wants you to do more. Someone was saying about tithes. If you don't pay tithes, the Bible says you're supposed to pay twice as much, four times as much. That was under the law. Under grace, all things can be forgiven, but you got to start at some point.
Yeah.
I don't say to people, you need to go pay back a year's worth of tithes or whatever. God doesn't say that either. You just need to pick them up and do it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as saying, I don't say to you, if your time hasn't been in prayer or whatever, now you need to pray all day and make up your prayer. You don't.
Yeah.
You just need to get started now and be faithful.
Yes.
You don't have to go back and those things are done. They're in the books. They are there. Just say to the Lord, Lord, I just didn't quite do what I was supposed to do on this one. Didn't read like I was supposed to. God would have everybody in here abound. He would have everybody in here abound.
Yes.
And more so, because it's not like God's short on funds or time.
No.
And I hear people say sometimes, so-and-so, this person got your blessing. There's no such thing as me getting anybody else's blessing. I got a blessing that they would get.
Yeah.
But it isn't their blessing. It's that, because it isn't like God has a limited number of this and that and the other. He could have blessed them and still blessed me.
Mm-hmm.
I got the blessing they would get if they had obeyed God.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like since they didn't obey God, God gave it to me. No. God would have given me what he was going to give to me anyway if I had done what God asked. So, you know, God's wealth and his power and his grace, his mercy, unlimited. What limits God? Me. What holds God back? Me.
Yes.
What stops God from moving? Me. What hinders my blessing? Me. What will stop me from having everlasting life? The devil. No, me. Christ has already defeated the devil. He did that at Calvary. Through death he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What stops me from having everlasting life? Me. And in that great day when you stand before the throne of judgment, if you should be so unfortunate as to be one of those who didn't go back in the rapture, and God says, this is what you've done, and you're going to start explaining to him why you couldn't obey him, and he's going to say, you could have obeyed because my son came, and through his death, he rolled all the reproach away. He took away the reproach.
Yes.
The things that stopped you from being able to serve me, he took those away. I gave you my spirit. There was no reason why you could not serve me. It doesn't come down to how bad a preacher you had, mistakes they made, examples they did, people were this, they were that, and all that. He's going to say, but you had my son, the apostle and high priest of your faith, he says in chapter 3.
Yes.
He refers to him. But we see Jesus, who rolled away everything that would have stopped you from serving God, set you free. Forgave your sins that you had done, set you free from sin. Gave you the word of God, made every way possible that you could have the blessings of God. If you don't have the blessings of God today, or if you have I got the blessings of God. Do you want more? I do. Because to this point, God has blessed me every day, and I'm so thankful. But I could afford that blessing, and I believe what he said. He opened the windows of heaven and poured me out a blessing I would not have room enough to receive. He said, he opened the windows of heaven and poured me out a blessing that I would not have room enough to receive. He said, he would open the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing I would have not room enough to receive. He would give me more than I need. And I believe it. We all need to. Because there's so many other things we need. And yet that's just the earthly rest. There still remains the rest. So I'm encouraging everybody today. Do what you can in God. If you're not paying tithes, start. If you're paying the best you can pay in tithes, pay that and ask God to carry you on. I'm not asking, you know, in my heart of hearts, the Spirit is saying to me, this is not the old days like the widow who had the 2 cents or the widow who had the barrel of meal and oil. I'm not asking anybody not to have food in their house. Neither is God. I'm not asking anybody not to have a roof over their head. So why is that? Because in Jesus, in the olden times, people could take people into their houses and they could do a lot of things for them. We can't do that these days for many reasons. So then, and God knows that. So then I'm not asking you to not have enough money to support yourself. But my God, you know where what you're doing has to be done versus what you're doing because it's what you want to do. Here again is, like I said, starting off with this priority for God and what we need in God when our time is concerned. You know what you have to do versus what you just want to do. And if you want God to really move for you, then God understands that priority. And if you have a great need. Now, if where you are in God, you are fine, that's between you and God. But I know I need God to do some great things. I want to see a miracle. I want to see God. I want the Lord to pay this church off. And I owe nobody. I want to see that miracle. It would so encourage me to see the Lord move in some way. I would, you know, say, well, you want manna from above. I do.
Yes.
I do. Because great God is capable of doing. Is there anything too hard for God? Now, maybe that's not what you need today. What Shanta really needs today is for God to move for her for a job. Is there anything too hard for God? What some people need is for him to open up a health plan. Is there anything too hard for God? Many of us have many things that we need God to do, and I keep saying, is there anything too hard for God? There isn't. What hinders him? We do. Get on your knees. Get it, you know, turn that plate over. Put, and it's not just food you have to put aside for God. Put people aside. And tell them, I need something from God. Go in, close the doors, as the scripture says. That means shut yourself off to that degree and turn before God and see if God won't move for you, if God won't bless you. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me pray. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. And I thank God for all of you today. I thank God that the weather is breaking in many places because in so many places people are really going through. And it's just catastrophic. We need to pray and ask the Lord to move on their behalf. But we also need to pray and ask God that the glory of God be shown.
Amen.
We, in many times when our suffering is relieved, we rush to give credit to people in earth and we never remember that God is in control of all things and upholding all things by the word of his power. That he would have never sent the good Samaritan would have never come along but by the grace of God. We love to give credit to people in the earth for everything that goes on without realizing that really they would have never been there to start with if God hadn't put them or caused them to be in your way or in your life. The good things, every good and perfect gift comes down from above. And when you think of all the things that have been life-changing in a good way and have gone in a certain way, you may say, this person helped me out. And thank God for them. But then you must also say exactly that. And I thank God.
Yeah.
So I'm praying that the Lord will move on their behalf and this winter storm and all these things to come. Because Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He destroys as much as he can and distracts as much as he can. But we have God.
Yes.
We have God. With him all things are possible. Let's pray. Everybody's coming. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for everybody who tuned in today and everybody who's in the sanctuary today. Lord, I pray, Lord, even so, Lord, you would move on our behalf. And Lord, Mrs. Smith is standing out. Lord, she needs a blessing. Oh, God, she really needs a blessing. Lord, she has needs. Sister Gamble, are you standing out or are you just standing up? Needs a blessing, oh, God. And Lord, we pray, Lord, you'd really move. Lord, among those, Lord, who need healing, we pray you move in Jesus' name. But Lord, stretch forth thy hand of mercy. Lord, give favor to Minister Smith and to all those. Lord, let her have favor with these people on this job. Lord, you're able to give favor as you gave to Esther, Lord, before Ahasuerus. And Lord, have favor as you gave Joseph before Potiphar, O God. Lord, you're able, Lord, to hear her prayers as you heard Hannah, O God. Favor as you gave Ruth with Ruth, O God, with Boaz. Lord, you're able to give favor, cause her to have favor with the people. Lord, cause her to stand out. Lord, cause her to catch their eye, O God. Let her resume catch their eye. And Lord, move on her behalf, O God. And Lord, we'll glorify your name. And for everybody who has need today, whatever they have need for, Lord, I pray, Lord, you bless them today and cause them to have favor. Bless us to gamble. Lord, cause the people, Lord, cause them. to stand out. Cause their light to shine brightly above all the others, Lord. Lord, do for them as you did for Jesus. Lord, you said in the Word of God that you had anointed him above all of his fellows. Lord, you've given him a position above all of his fellows. Lord, give them positions above all of those, Lord, who are in their peer group. All those applicants, no matter how many there are, Lord, it caused them to stand out. In Jesus' name, Lord, no matter how many people are putting in call, Chandra, to stand out. And Lord, let them hold out a scepter to her, O God, and receive her, Lord. And Lord, for those things, Lord, we'll bless your name, Lord. Bless the people of God, whoever they are, whatever they need. Lord, move on their behalf. And Lord, give us a clean heart and a heart and a desire to turn towards you. And God, speak to our minds and wash us and cleanse us and give us a mind to make you our priority. Lord, let us put you before family and friends and money and houses and cars. For Lord, you would suffer us so that we would not lose any of those things by putting you first. Lord, there is no loss in having you first, oh God. Lord, give us a mind to do so. Bring us to that revelation. Lord, let us see that in you, Lord, we suffer no loss, but we gain everything. Lord, give us that mind. Lord, move in us by the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would stir our spirit, that we would realize, Lord, give us the revelation, we would realize that having you first is the beginning of having all the blessings, oh God. Lord, be first in our lives, oh God. Lord, let us consecrate our life to you and dedicate ourselves to you and turn to you. Lord, and when we do so, Lord, we know that according to your word, Lord, you will bless us and keep us. And we glorify your name. Lord, we know that all your blessings point us toward glory, point us toward eternal life. Lord, we won't stop seeking eternal life. We won't stop seeking the rest that comes that when we're with you. Lord, when we are blessed with houses full of goods and wells already dug and vineyards already planted, oh God, when we have received the good of the land, Lord, we'll say, it is the Lord who has done this. Lord, we will turn and say, God has done this, and we'll let everyone know. We glorify our God who is able to do all things that in whom is nothing too hard. And we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, heal the people today. Lord, Elder T. Angela Rogers is still waiting on a healing. Lord, Sister Gutch